Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, September 22, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, first of all, Mr. Jim Wheeler right down here has a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Jim. Now, did Magnum sing happy birthday to you? Well, you see, Magnum is his dog, and Magnum sings better than anybody in here except Randy. So... And let you know, we are going to have seal coating put on the parking lot out here on a Thursday, October 3rd. That means classes during the week of September 29th will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Nobody can... After Thursday, they don't want anybody driving on the asphalt on the parking lot out here. So October 3rd, Thursday, it'll be sealed. Don't come. Don't do wheelies out in the parking lot. And that's the week of September 29th. So Bible class will be Monday, September 30th. Tuesday, October 1st, Wednesday, October 2nd, that week. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So you see, these last two people came in late. They were watching the replay of the Oregon football game. Did they win? Oh, well, they won. That's like the Rebels. They won this week, too, because they're on a bye. And then I tried to watch the Washington State game against San Jose State. I recorded it, and I even extended it. My recording ended with 3 minutes left in the game. It was a double overtime game, and they won double over. I never got to see any of it. So I had to rebound about four or five times. But they did win. 54-52. There you go. It was a real defensive game. All right, in preparation to worship the Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. As we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, we are in a new chapter, Romans chapter 8. And this is a very special chapter because God the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, in this chapter, puts the spotlight on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. He hasn't done that all the way through. He did talk about in Romans 6 the baptism of the Spirit. But Romans 8, God the Holy Spirit is putting the spotlight on the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to start. I'm going to have a little bit of an introduction here. The spotlight is on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, in chapter 8. The Holy Spirit has a very special ministry in the dispensation we live in. We live in the church age. The church age began at Pentecost. It will conclude with the rapture. This is the most unique and special dispensation in all of human history. You are living in a great, special dispensation with blessings and privileges that were never given in the Old Testament. And to that to whom much is given, much is expected. The Holy Spirit makes the church age then the most special and unique dispensation in human history. The church age is the only dispensation that has the baptism of the Spirit. And it's the only dispensation that has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of the Spirit, we are identified with Jesus Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth. And we are identified with His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, current positional truth. So as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, we are royal family of God. We are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are royal family of God. In other dispensations, believers were family of God through regeneration. But in the church age, we are royal family of God through the baptism of the Spirit. And the church age is the only dispensation where we have the universal indwelling of the Spirit, which operates, makes a base of operations for the filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and provides the power so that we can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. This is the only dispensation where every believer, the plan of God is for you. God has a unique spiritual life. That spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. It can only be lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit. The first person to ever live the unique spiritual life was Jesus Christ, His first advent. Then that was passed on to the royal family of God. God the Father, in His infinite wisdom, knew that following the crucifixion of Christ on His cross, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, he would be seated at the right hand of the Father. He knew that in the Old Testament, Satan, the ruler of planet Earth, attacked the line of Christ. And then with the first advent, he attacked Jesus Christ in person, trying to get him to sin. He failed. Now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And every one of us as church-age saints, church-age believers, we make up the body of Christ. We're still here. And the Father knew that Satan would shift gears. Now, for the first time in human history, Satan's attack is on every one of you, every one of you, as a member of the body of Christ. With that, God the Father had to make a new system, a spiritual life, a supernatural way of life that operated by supernatural power, the power of God the Holy Spirit. And he gave it to all of us so that we don't become casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So we have this blessing, this fantastic blessing of this unique spiritual life, a supernatural way of life that demands supernatural power for its execution. So in the church age, for the first time ever in human history, every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And that indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that we can live this unique spiritual life in the church age and glorify God to the maximum. We have been blessed, 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 blessed. So, the Holy Spirit has a very special title in Romans chapter 8. He has the title, the Spirit of Life. God the Holy Spirit has a very special title in Romans chapter 8. He is the Spirit of Life. And we're going to take a look at that this morning. When we get into verse 2, where we have, because the principle of the Spirit of Life, that is God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 defines, describes, and illustrates the spiritual life of the church age. The plan of God for the church age believer is far greater than any condemnation at physical birth, when we were born physically alive but in spiritual death as a result of the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed sin nature. The plan of God is far greater than any sin or failure that we commit, for all of our personal sins, as well as the sins of the whole world, unlimited atonement, were poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross and judged in Him. Operation Grace, the cross. The plan of God is far greater than any suffering or any adversity or any historical disaster or any problem we may face in life. The unique spiritual life of the church age is far greater than anything we will ever face in this life. When we live this unique spiritual life, we stay above life and above the pressures and the problems of life. They will never break us. The plan of God for the church age believer is described in the doctrine of sanctification. And sanctification has three phases. Phase one, sanctification, positional sanctification. We are in union with Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. Phase two, sanctification, experiential sanctification. The believer in time lives this unique spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and attain spiritual maturity. Phase three, sanctification, ultimate sanctification, the believer in eternity living in a resurrection body. So the outline of chapter 8 is the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, and sanctification, Romans 8, 1 to 17. And then secondly, the unique spiritual life of the church age and suffering, Romans 8, 18 to 30. And then the third part, the unique spiritual life of the church age and its challenges, Romans 8, 31 to 39. So we are just getting started. Romans 8, 1 to 17, the unique spiritual life of the church age and sanctification. And in Romans 8, 1, we have the result of positional sanctification, the result of the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ. And that result is eternal security. And we studied that in great detail. Therefore, verse 1 says, therefore, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Jesus Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ's salvation. Now, Romans 8, 2 through 4, we have the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life and the church age believers' inner conflict in phase 2. It starts out in the King James and says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the nominative singular of nomos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of pneuma with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of zoe with the definite article, and then the prepositional phrase en plus the dative of Christos Jesus. We start out with the post-positive conjunction gar. Gar, G-A-R. And gar is the illative use of gar, and the illative introduces a reason or a cause. And it may be translated for you see, or because. And we're going to translate it because, and then the nominative singular of nomos introduces the subject of the verse. N-O-M-O-S, nomos, the subject of the verse. Now, nomos has three different meanings in the book of Romans. First of all, it is generally referring to any law, as in Romans 3:27. And then secondly, it's used of a rule governing one's actions, and may be translated rule or norm or principle. And that's how it's used in our verse, Romans 8, 2. And then it's also used for the Mosaic law, Romans 2, 15 and Romans 4, 15. Here, it's used as a rule governing one's actions. And we're going to translate it principle. Because the principle, and the principle that the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on, is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Pneuma, Spirit, that's third person of the Trinity, that's God the Holy Spirit. P-N-E-U-M-A, Pneuma. Pneuma is the word spirit. Here it's used for God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit has a very special title in Romans 8:2. He is the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. The word there for life is Zoe. Z long O long E, Zoe. Zoe is life, sometimes for eternal life and for the unique spiritual life of the church age. So, one, so far we have, because the principle of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, one, God the Holy Spirit has a very special title. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of life. Now, I was working on this all week, and every time I came home, Deb said, "What'd you work on?" I said, "Romans." I said, "There is so much here, and I just had to go back and redo everything." And I said, "There's just loaded with, this is loaded." In fact, last night, I kept Deb up all night. I couldn't sleep. I was working on this morning's class. All night long, God the Holy Spirit was teaching me. And I would wake up, pee, blow my nose, get back in bed, going through it again, wake up, pee, blow my nose. Did this all night long. Kept going over the class. When I woke up, I looked at Deb. She looked like she hadn't slept all night. I said, "Did I keep you awake?" I said, "This is really going to be great. Going to be great." God the Holy Spirit has a special title. He is the Spirit of life. Two, God the Holy Spirit is the source of eternal life through regeneration. God the Holy Spirit is the source of eternal life through regeneration. Three, at salvation, faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. That occurs at the very moment of your faith in Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Four, also at salvation, at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, and we share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So also with salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, and we share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, indwells the body of every church age believer. At salvation, the moment of faith in Christ, the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church age believer. Six, the universal indwelling of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one. That's the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, so you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, the universal indwelling of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Seven, the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, is the divine power for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. This unique spiritual life was never lived in the Old Testament, through any of the Old Testament saints. They had no unique spiritual life. They had no baptism of the Spirit. They had no universal indwelling of the Spirit. All they had was the endowment of the Spirit for a few people. You could count on, in the Bible, on your hands, the number of people that had the endowment of the Spirit, and that was to carry out a specific task. But there was no universal indwelling of the Spirit. There was no filling of the Spirit. That is unique for the time we live. But God knew we would need it for this spiritual life. And He knew we'd need this unique spiritual life because of the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. He knew that with the Son seated at the right hand of the Father, the attack would be on the body of Christ, and all of us are the body of Christ. So the spiritual life, the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, is the divine power for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Eight, so this special title for God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, emphasizes, it puts the spotlight is on, first of all, our eternal life, and therefore our eternal security, and secondly, the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So this special title for God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, emphasizes, puts the spotlight on our eternal life and therefore our eternal security, and secondly, the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So we have, because the principle of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, en Christo Jesu, in Christ Jesus, current positional truth, in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. So, because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, God the Holy Spirit as the source of eternal life, regeneration, and the baptism of the Spirit, and the power to live the spiritual life, indwelling and filling of the Spirit. And then we have, hath made me free, free from the law of sin and death. We have the aorist active indicative of eleutherao, plus the accusative single of the personal pronoun su, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive singular of namas with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of hamartia with the definite article, and the conjunction chi with the genitive singular of thanatos with the definite article. Eleutherao. Looks like that in the Greek, E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O, long O. Eleutherao. Now this is the same verb we had in Romans 6:18 and in Romans 6:22. A couple of things. First of all, eleutherao means to free or to set free. To free or to set free. And then secondly, the subject, the one who has set you free is the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit. And he did so through regeneration and the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. Identification with Christ in his death and burial and his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. So the subject, the one who has set you free, is the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, through regeneration and the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. Now you'll notice point three right here. That's the a-o ending. And the a-o ending is causative. So point three, the a-o ending is causative. At the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit was caused, motivated, to set you free from the sin nature as the ruler of human life and spiritual death. Retroactive positional truth. So that a-o ending is causative. At the moment of your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit was caused, motivated to set you free. Free from the sin nature as the ruler of human life and spiritual death. Retroactive positional truth. Four, to be set free is divorce from a bad marriage. You see, at physical birth, we had a marriage. It was a bad marriage at physical birth. The old sin nature was the husband in our first marriage. We, the unbeliever, were the wife, and the marriage counselor was the Mosaic Law. But at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ now is the husband of the second marriage. We, believers, are the wife, and God the Holy Spirit is the marriage counselor. In the first marriage, well, the old sin nature is the culprit. In the second marriage, the believer's volition, making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, is the culprit. The aorist tense of eleutherao is the consonant aorist, viewing the work of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, in regeneration and the baptism of the Spirit in its entirety. The active voice, the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the accusative singular of the personal pronoun, sue, S-U, sue, and it means you, specifically the believer. The believer at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. And then the preposition apa, A-P-O, apa, and it means from, away from, separated from, and the basic meaning is separation from someone or something. And then we have namas, once again means principle, and then hamartia in the singular, and we've had this many times. In the plural, it refers to personal sins, but in the singular, most of the time, it refers to the sin nature. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia. Here it's in the singular, and here it refers to the sin nature. And then we have thanatos, and thanatos is the Greek word for death. There are seven different categories of death in the New Testament scriptures. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, thanatos, death. This is spiritual death. Spiritual death occurs at physical birth. At that moment of physical birth, Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, and every member of the human race is born physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. And this is the way that the sin nature becomes the ruler of human life. From physical birth to salvation, the sin nature is the ruler of human life. The sin nature is the husband, the ruler of the first marriage, and he is the ruler and authority of the unbeliever from physical birth until he places his faith in Christ, ruling him in the status of spiritual death. So, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, therefore, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Verse 2, because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, as the source of eternal life, regeneration, baptism of the Spirit, and the power to live the unique spiritual life through the indwelling and filling of the Spirit, the Spirit of life has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. The third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, the spotlight is on God the Holy Spirit. Now he has two very special titles. One, the Spirit of truth, and two, the Spirit of life. So God the Holy Spirit has two very special titles, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of life. First of all, let's look at the Spirit of truth. Turn over to John 14. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 14. John 14. We'll start at verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. Now, since he's still alive, the church age hasn't begun yet. Church age began on Pentecost. After his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, and then 10 days after that, that's when the church age began. So this is prior to the church age. But he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a parakletos. That's God the Holy Spirit. Another helper to be with you forever. And what is this title? The Spirit of truth. And the word truth is aletheia, absolute truth. The Spirit of absolute truth. Now the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. He's talking about unbelievers. But you know him, for he lives right now beside you. That's the endowment of the Spirit prior to the church age. He lives beside you, but he will be in you in the church age, the universal indwelling of the church age believer. He will be in you. Now look over at John 15. John 15, verse 26. Jesus Christ is still holding Bible class, and he says, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, and what is his name? The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of absolute truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And then look over at John 16. John 16. We can start at verse 12. Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. So He has a very special title, the Spirit of Truth. And He has the title, Romans 8, 2, the Spirit of Life. So, first of all, the title, the Spirit of Truth, emphasizes the post-salvation ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The post-salvation ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And that is the power to live the spiritual life, the mandate, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. That's a mandate for all of us. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on, that's Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit, and then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So those are in the imperative mood. Those are mandates for us, church-age saints, to keep on being empowered by the Spirit, keep on walking by the Spirit, and then spiritual skill number two, 2 Peter 3:18, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, keep on growing up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there are the two spiritual skills of the unique spiritual life of the church age. So that title, the Spirit of Truth, emphasizes the post-salvation ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, and that is the enabling ministry, the power of the Spirit to understand the absolute truth of the Word of God. It enables the church-aged believer to fulfill the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He has the title, the Spirit of Life. And the Spirit of Life emphasizes the salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit, specifically the sealing ministry of the Spirit, regeneration ministry, the baptism of the Spirit, and the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. The title, the Spirit of Life, also emphasizes the post-salvation ministry of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, enabling church age believer to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. So we're going to take a look at this second title, the title, the Spirit of Life of God the Holy Spirit, when we come back after our break. That's the end of part one. We'll have a break and we'll come back for part two and take a look at the Spirit, the title, the Spirit of Life.